two people who really get upset about Smallville. Geek World. Geek World. Bumping Thursdays at noon.
You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. So we are two people that get really upset about Smallville.
Yes,
but
we do.
Not today, because Smallville is DC, and we are talking Marvel.
Oh,
your friendly neighborhood geeks here are talking about Marvel.
Exactly. Yeah, I think, I couldn't be more excited for all the stuff that's coming out right now about...
You don't sound very excited.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I couldn't be more excited.
I know. It's tough. I'm trying to find this one certain article, and I'm trying to talk at the same time, and it just never works out that way. But basically, the next one we're going to talk about, because I'm just going by release date about what's going to come out next, is a month after we get Thor, we're going to get the next movie from Marvel, The First Avenger, Captain America.
Yay.
Which is, produced by Marvel and also distributed by Paramount, just like Iron Man. And, I am also very excited about this. I remember I saw the original Captain America movie in 1990, and even as a kid, I remember it not being very good. And apparently the guy who played Captain America in that was J.D. Salinger's son.
That's awesome.
So there you go. And
if only we had watched that in honor of...
We could have read Catcher in the Rye, or we could have watched Captain America, which would have been both, patriotic and respected his, history. So I think that...
Or we could have done research on all those people that, read that book and then kill people.
Yeah, that is a kind of a big thing, isn't it? Yeah. Good thing... Do you think if he had, written that book, a few years later, people would have, sued him?
No.
Okay, good. I don't think so either. No, and that was a really, really stupid thing to say. And, that's not a problem, because I don't mind sounding stupid. So this is what we know about Captain America. It's directed by Joe Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Some of you might not know who Joe Johnson is.
Yeah, like
is.
Me. I have no
How
idea.
Dare you not know? Well, Joe Johnson directed a movie I liked very much as a kid called The Rocketeer. And, after that, he's done some really big movies. He directed Jumanji. He directed October Sky.
Nice.
He directed Jurassic Park 3, Hidalgo.
Wow, you
and,
got it right.
Yes, thank you. And The Wolfman, which just recently came out.
With
so,
Benicio del Toro?
Yes, exactly. And Anthony Hopkins. A great director. I mean,
who's been experienced in the industry now for years.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
And,
big stuff.
He already said that they've decided to go with the origin story because, in World War II, which people weren't sure on, because actually it's funny, the original 1990 version of Captain America, they have a little snippet about World War II, but then it's all sort of now he's in, it's like Blast from the Past. Now he's in, today's world. And with this, they realize they can only do the origin story once. And so they're going to do it in World War II, and only the bookends, the beginning and the end, are going to take place in modern times. And
so it's going to be like he gets out and then tells the story or something. That makes sense if it's bookends in the future.
Yeah,
he never got sent to the future. He was stuck in time in a block of ice.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Well, I have the quote right here. This is what I was looking for when I said I'm really excited for Marvel movies.
Gotcha.
This is a quote from coming soon from Joe Johnson. Virtually the entire story except the bookends are in World War II because we all recognize we have one chance to tell the origin story of how he became Captain America. You can't tell a modern story and then go back and tell the origin story. If you're going to do it, let's do it. Let's do it first. Everyone wanted to tell the origin story, and there was a version where it was a modern story, and I didn't like it. So I think that it's good. They're going with their gut, and I think that it could work really well.
I think it's actually the ideal way to introduce Captain America, because the whole thing about Captain America is that in the reality of the creation of Captain America, World War II was huge. And World War II is when Captain America can be the best hero, because he's literally the best guy they have at that point, because he's been given this super soldier serum.
Yeah.
He was also kind of the best guy before that, it gives him this time to really show that he's a hero above all of the other people on Earth. You know what I mean?
I agree. I think it's actually a really good idea to do World War II. And at first I wasn't sure, but the reason I know now that it's a good idea is, they're going to start the first half off just about, you know, Steve Rogers, you know, the young would-be artist who mm-hmm. tried to join, but he was too weak, and so they gave him the super soldier serum. It's going to be like the first part is just going to probably be him getting the super soldier serum. But then Joe Johnson just said that he plans on featuring the team, the Invaders, and that they're going to be in the entire second half of the movie. So now we have his origin plus the Invaders. I mean, I can't wait. Real quick thing about the Invaders is basically in 1975, Marvel wanted to revive some of their cool Golden Age characters. And so Roy Thomas decided to revive the All-Winners Squad from World War II. And the All-Winners Squad was the Submariner, Human Torch, Captain America, and then Bucky, which was Captain America's sidekick, and Toro, which was the Human Torch's sidekick. And basically, it was what?
Okay. So this was, I'm sorry, were these from World War II?
Yeah. So here, let me just, basically this is what's going on. He decided to bring the characters from the Golden Age. He decided to write a comic that took place, basically untold stories of the Golden Age.
Okay, right, because Bucky died when Captain America went
into
ice.
Exactly.
So, yeah, okay, so these take place when Captain America is alive before the ice during World War II.
Sort of, if I wrote a comic book right now and it was about the first Superman who couldn't fly and, you know, could only leap tall
buildings.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same basic idea. It was more of a sense of nostalgia and also bringing back some of these really cool World War II characters. And so, you know, apparently he didn't like the name All Winner Squad. I think that would have been perfect. But instead, you know, they revamped it, called it the Invaders. And now, you know, the Invaders from 75 were Captain America, Bucky Barnes, Namor, the Submariner, Human Torch, Toro, Union Jack, Spitfire, Miss America, and of course the Whizzer, which I think we might talk about later is possibly the strangest Marvel character of all time. And so I think, you know, I'm just really excited. I think that right now the big question is who's going to be Captain America. I mean, there's been all kinds of rumors about this.
We've even given our own suggestions, but we could never come up with someone that we really felt right about. You know, no one that we really felt like we were like, well, maybe they could go with look at this guy or that guy, and we'd be okay with that, but we never found anyone that we were like, oh yeah, that's the guy, that's Captain America. But lately, they've been coming out with some new little lists, and one person on those lists, we heard it, and we were like, how did we never think of this before?
Before we get to that one person, though, let me just do a quick thing, okay?
Yes.
The first thing is that, you know, the first original rumor that everyone's kind of scoffed at was Will Smith. That was like a year ago before they were even deciding to make the movie or not. I remember for me, when I first saw Rome, I saw Kevin McKidd was like, that dude should play Captain America someday. And I think at this point it wouldn't work. And then
especially because he can't do an American accent.
Yeah. And then before G.I. Joe came out, I thought, oh, maybe Channing Tatum should play Captain America because he has that kind of like soldier look. Yeah, and it was just because I saw the Stop Loss trailer. And then, you know, we've been talking about it for a while.
And because we like Channing Tatum.
Because we like it. And I think one of the other people that that you had said a while ago that I initially said no to, but now I think would actually be kind of interesting is Paul Wesley from Vampire Diaries. If nothing else, he's got that really, he's got, you know, his jaw is squarier.
Yeah, I think I used that term at the time.
You probably did. I steal all your best jokes and use them for myself.
The thing is about him that he was never quite perfect, but he was the best one that I could think of at that point.
Yeah, and he's really good at playing that kind of, I hate to say this, but boring character, that kind of guy that doesn't have much of a personality.
Yeah, the guy that's just kind of got one directive.
Yeah. And even though Captain America, you know, when he comes back, you know, to the Avengers is out of time, he has issues, he's still, you know, that guy.
Yeah.
And so,
hey, Stefan is out of his time.
Exactly. So, I will, first off, let's just say who let's say the person that, do we want to go for the front runners, or do we want to go for the one person you were saying that we didn't know about?
Let's start off with the front runners.
Okay. Well, right now, the front runners, and I won't include the person that we said, mm-hmm. even though he is part of the front runners.
Yeah.
The front runners are Chris Pine. Which,
I love Chris Pine, but I don't, like, first off, how many captains can he be?
Yeah, exactly. Good point.
You know, like, people are just going to start seeing him, and instead of calling him Chris, it'll just be, hey, Captain.
Yeah, you know.
But that's, you know, that's just being silly. Beyond that, I love him, and I, you know, he's one of those people that, sure, I'll cast him for anything. I'd like to see him cast in everything, but no, he's not quite Captain America.
No, I mean, you know, I think
he's too cool, to be perfectly honest.
I agree. I think that, You know, I'll never say Chris Pine is bad for a role. I think he's a fantastic actor. We knew about him way before he was Captain Kirk, and he had done a lot of good roles before that.
Diaries too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he was the only good part in Smoking Aces.
Yeah,
and he was in that great movie Bottle Shock.
Yeah,
I mean he's a very good actor, and so I won't be disappointed if he's Captain America.
Right.
I just feel like he's not necessarily the best. But now let's listen to the other people, which I think are actually not as good as Chris Pine. One is Chad Michael Murray.
No.
Which I can't even believe that they would even put that anywhere.
I mean, if they were making it on the CW, then I'd be like, fine, if you want to go with that guy, fine.
Chad Michael Murray,
still no.
Chad Michael Murray can play wimpy before Super Soldier Serum, Steve Rogers, if they want.
He was good once.
Yeah.
CSI, right? Wasn't that him?
Yeah, he was decent in that episode of CSI.
Because he barely talked, and he was barely in it, actually.
Chad Michael Murray might as well be a girl. I mean, he's just this pretty boy who's just, frankly, kind of douchey. So I couldn't even imagine him playing this role.
We don't actually know if he's douchey in real life, but,
he's kind of douchey. I mean, didn't he break up with that chick and then, start dating a high school chick? Anyway, it's not important.
Because that's not Captain America.
Yeah,
Captain America doesn't break up with some chick and date a high schooler.
Especially when she's that really super hot chick from that show, but that's not the point. The point is, I could not see him as masculine one bit. So, and Captain America is all about being masculine and American. I'm sorry, he's not.
No, I know. I'm laughing because it's true. I agree.
You know what he's like?
I can't say
he's one of those guys.
That.
He's one of those guys who squints like Clint Eastwood to look cool, but if someone hit him, he would cry and run away. I'm not saying I want to fight Chad Michael Murray. I'm just saying he just seems like a wussy to me. Like, so much. It's funny. Because...
No, you're right. I mean, you're absolutely right. I can't see him as Captain America in any way, shape, or form. I can't see him being involved in war in any way. And not because he's a pacifist or anything, but because, like you said, get punched, run away.
Yeah,
you know?
I can see him playing like a Lothario. I can see him playing like a player.
He could be Bucky, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe he could play the Wizard, as the Invaders. I would totally be with him playing the Wizard.
Oh,
I believe that mongoose blood was, put into him. But other than Chad Michael Murray, there's Jensen Ackles.
Okay, I love Supernatural.
We love Jensen Ackles.
But Jensen Ackles, he's actually, this year on Supernatural, he actually has done a little growing with his acting, a tiny bit.
Yeah,
but he's not meant for big yet. I don't know if he...
Well,
I'd like to hope someday he'd really be able to be.
Okay, I'll put it like this. We really like Jensen Ackles. We think he's, the best for Dean in Supernatural. And I actually think he was terrible in My Bloody Valentine.
That movie was terrible.
I hate saying it because I think he's great, but he wasn't good in it. But it was... Yes, like you said, he was bad. And also, Chad Michael Murray was in that movie. I think that for Captain America, Dean is very much like Captain America. He's a little more kind of tough in dealing with his issues, but is kind of a little more stoic. But at the same time, I just don't see him as Captain America.
Yeah.
I don't see him as that character. And then the other person who we never thought of, that is actually one of the front runners that you were saying.
Oh, okay, so now we're getting to the person that we're how did we not think of this guy?
Yeah.
He's perfect.
Yeah, is Ryan McPartlin.
Now, you have never heard that name before, but we're going to tell you who he is.
But you might know him from a little show called Chuck, playing
Captain Awesome.
That's right.
He's okay. He unlike Chris Pine, who you don't want him as Captain Kirk and Captain America, Captain Awesome can be Captain America because Captain Awesome means Captain America in my book.
I mean, we need to put this up on the blog, but, thinking back when I look at, the original shot of Steve Rogers after he gets Super Soldier Serum and he's huge all of a sudden, he's like, what's going on? That picture looks exactly like him.
I also
100% like him.
I also love how kind of deep his voice is and how it's just this powerful voice. I could hear that voice coming from under the mask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like it's more powerful than a normal voice.
And I get the idea that he's he plays that kind of one-sided character so well. I get the idea that he's got a little more range than that.
He plays that character so perfectly, but also with these great little nuances to it that just make it so you can see he can do so much more. I am so happy to hear that. I'm so happy when they come up with someone that we never thought of and someone that makes us go, yes, you found the right guy. Do that. Go with him.
Exactly. And so we don't know who's going to be fighting the Red Skull.
Wait,
what?
Oh, you mean we don't know what actor?
Exactly. We don't know what actor will play him in the first Avenger coming July 22nd, 2011.
Hopefully.
But, you know, we'll have to see. And then I think, you know, we won't be upset if it's Chris Pine. We won't be upset if it's Ryan McPartlin. And, you know, I won't be upset if it's Jensen Ackles because, like I said, I really like Jensen Ackles.
Yeah, but I think
at the end of the day, Pine and McPartlin are definitely like the best runners up in our opinion.
Yeah, when the movie coming out before that is Thor directed by Kenneth Branagh,
I just don't think that
Jensen Ackles or Chad Michael Murray, like in the next Marvel film, would stand up at all to it.
I mean, it's so funny. 5 years ago, if you said Kenneth Branagh is going to direct a big superhero film, people would just laugh.
Yeah,
like are you joking? Or maybe 10 years ago,
even that Robert Downey Jr. was going to be a superhero.
I should say 10 years ago, before Raimi directed Spider-Man, would probably
That's
be a
true.
Better fit. Speaking of which, we might as well. Oh no! Next, we're going to go to Deadpool. They're currently writing this right now. The writing team from Zombieland is writing the script, and apparently they're working very closely with the star,
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, thank you. I'm like, I was like, he's not trying to call Ryan Reynolds' name, is he? My brain, I'm starting to forget the stuff I know. And Ryan Reynolds, of course, is playing Deadpool, which we're totally good with.
So Deadpool takes place after X-Men Origins Wolverine. Do you actually?
I don't know anything about the story.
A lot of these are like that. They don't really have much out because they're still writing them. But I'm under the impression that he's not really Deadpool until after that Wolverine storyline, right? Like, I mean, he is, but he's not.
Well, you know, I mean, it's really interesting because what they did with Deadpool at the end of that movie really has nothing to do with Deadpool. His Deadpool persona at the beginning is definitely like the Deadpool that we know and love.
I guess I didn't actually mean how it ended, but he wasn't exactly crazy. In the beginning,
right.
He was a little like wacky and like, you know, talked a lot, but he wasn't exactly crazy.
Yeah,
I guess it's mainly the crazy.
Yeah, well, you know, they just made him more annoying than anything else, but also I thought very cool in X-Men Origins Wolverine, and I love Ryan Reynolds. He's really funny, and I think the main thing about Deadpool, why people like him so much is, you know, he's very snarky like Spider-Man, but he's sort of like the sociopathic Spider-Man.
Yes.
You know, he's a mercenary for hire. He kills and has fun doing it, and you know, the other big thing about him is that he wears that full kind of body costume because he's horribly scarred. And that was
the other thing, horribly scarred.
Yeah, we're not sure how that's going to work because, you know, Ryan Reynolds, you know, is a pretty dude. I mean, they cast him because, you know, he's good looking and muscular.
But that's the thing. They cast him in X-Men Origins Wolverine because of, you know, how pretty he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, they decided to make Deadpool after that. I don't know. I think it would be a good idea to let him be covered and let it be Scarface.
I assume what they're going to do is my opinion is they'll probably give him a big scar on his face, but it probably won't be covering his whole face.
They'll probably
give him big scars on his body, but it won't be covering his whole body.
Well, someone might actually have to, you know, cut a hole for his mouth again.
Because the thing is, like, you know,
because they sewed his mouth together or something.
I mean, they're going to showcase, you know, they're going to showcase what he looks like.
Yeah.
They have to, you know? And so, I think they're probably going to change it up a little bit in that degree. But, I think it's really cool. And the cool thing about Deadpool is that, you know, he has regeneration, but not a healing factor. So he can get scarred, he won't heal. But if his arm gets cut off, it'll come back.
Right.
And so, that's really all we know about it. It's being produced by Marvel and 20th Century Fox, and 20th Century Fox is going to bring it out.
Now, after we finish running through the movies that are actually in development and even a few of the rumors, we're going to talk about some characters that we think should get their own movies. Now, I want to bring up a character that I don't think necessarily would be so easy to make a movie with, but that I would love if they could include it in the Deadpool storyline or bring him into Deadpool at some point if they do more than one Deadpool movie, and that's Cable.
If any of you read the
Civil War series, that was my first introduction to Cable and Deadpool. I really wasn't familiar with them before that, but they did the Cable and Deadpool comics.
Yeah.
And they were some of the funniest comics that I have read in so long because you've got Deadpool, who's crazy. He's out of his mind. He's a sociopath. He's snarky. And he's just so funny, which is actually one of the great things they did in Wolverine, Hulk versus Wolverine, was the snarky, yeah, funny Nathan Drake voiced Deadpool.
Well, you know what's really funny is that Deadpool and Cable were invented by the same guy, and this was a guy who was huge in the late 80s and early 90s in comic books, who now, in retrospect, people consider one of the people that helped ruin comic books. And this guy was named Rob Liefeld, and, you know, for whatever you want to say about him, he did create Cable and Deadpool, and they are very awesome characters.
Yeah.
And yes, it is very much the Odd Couple. It's the guy who's, you know, got issues, who's like, you know, a little more stoic and, you know, kicks butt, and then you get Deadpool, who, you know, never stops talking.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the great things about that Wolverine and Hulk movie was that was the thing about Deadpool, is he just talks all the time and won't shut up.
Now, the problem with Cable, like, giving him his own movie is that his history is so, so twisted.
And
you know, he's the son of, like, Scott Summers,
yeah,
and a clone of Jean Grey,
yeah,
and he got a disease, and
like a cybernetic
brought
disease
to the future to fix it, and then ended up going back to the past. By that time, he was all, like, half cybernetic and stuff. And then there's a point where he feels like his cybernetic stuff is killing him, and so he has to have half of his brain cut out.
Exactly.
It's like there is too much, and it's too twisted to really make a Cable movie, because there's no way to make it really good.
All they could do would be to, you know, introduce the character in an X-Men movie and then do a spinoff from there.
Yeah,
but that's
even
a lot
to
introduce.
It's still too much.
Yeah.
It's so much weird history. But he's this great, great character that makes someone great to play off of, especially a Deadpool.
I agree. You know,
I mean, he could come back in from the future at the point when Deadpool is at some point during the Deadpool movie.
I agree. There's a few kind of characters that, you know, their storyline is just too much to do as an origin story. Like, Deathlok was another guy we were talking about who, you know, is really cool, but, like, it just wouldn't make sense to do his story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so next we have going the only other thing that has a date that's official is what I'm calling Spider-Man 3D, which is a Spider-Man reboot, which is going to be coming out July 3rd, 2012. You know, we know that it's got a director, Mark Webber, who directed 500 Days of Summer, sorry. And other than that, we're hear rumors that, you know, he's working with the Avatar team to do a 3D like thing that they did
That's
for Avatar.
Awesome.
And you know, and they don't really
web
know.
Web swinging in 3D could be so cool.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, Mark Webb's directing it, and James Vanderbilt's writing the script, who wrote Zodiac. And other than that, you know, they're just a bunch of rumors of who could be cast, you know.
But they're not even like real studio rumors.
I mean,
it's just literally people like us going, hey, we think so-and-so should be. And I still stick with our Michael Angarano, if they're going with someone younger, that he's done really well at even like learning little martial arts things for like Forbidden Kingdom. He really learns what he needs to learn for things. He really he's a great little actor. He's a really really good young actor.
I agree. You know, there's been like I think there was a rumor about Logan Lerman that wasn't true, and there's even rumors about like, you know, Zac Efron.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I also say go for a Gwen Stacy story and bring in Mary Jane in the next one.
I agree completely. And so, you know, that's really all anyone knows about that movie anyway. And other than that, you know, the only other ones I have tentative dates, one is Ant-Man.
Ant-Man, that's like, again, that's a great one for bringing into the Avengers, but one that could be tough to make an interesting movie of, because who wants to be tiny?
Well, you know, luckily Ant-Man is also giant.
Sorry to all you short people.
Yeah, true. Anime hates short people. Ant-Man versus Ant-Man is also Giant Man, so he's able
true.
To, you know, first get small and talk to insects, and later to, you know, get huge. Hank Pym
Actually,
as a
he's
scientist.
He's only one of the Giant Men.
Well, yeah, there's a few, yeah, but I don't know enough about Ant-Man, because personally I don't care. I never thought he was a very cool character.
Well, it's like, I mean, we liked him in Ultimate Avengers, but mostly because he was the whiny brat that caused problems.
Yeah, he just kind of sucks, and you know, he has to do, you know, Wasp is his wife, and overall I was never impressed with his character. But
Wasp was always the more interesting character. And
exactly,
one of the also original like Avengers.
She was one of the original Avengers, yes.
Yeah.
And so was he.
Yeah.
And and other than that, Edgar Rice, who directed Hot Fuzz and just got done doing Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And
if it's the Hot Fuzz guy, that could make it fun.
Exactly.
You know what? Okay, Ant-Man could be a funny one then.
Well, you know, it's funny too, because, you know, along with Hot Fuzz, he obviously did Shaun of the Dead, and everyone, you know, is just assuming that Simon Pegg is going to be Ant-Man, which that won't happen. But
that would be weird.
It would be weird. It's like they don't have to exclusively work together.
I love Simon Pegg, and I would love to see him in the movie. I actually like him as a villain because he was really good in Doctor Who as kind of villainous.
It's sort of like, you know, Martin Scorsese, you know, in the 80s, like you can do a movie without Robert De Niro, or Martin Scorsese now, you can do a movie without Leonardo DiCaprio. It's okay.
Apparently he can't.
Yeah, well, no, he can't. But, you know, apparently he likes making money. So, you know, who knows what that's all about, and winning Oscars. That's pretty much all they know about it. You know, they haven't cast anybody, and there isn't really much developing there. He said that because it's not a major tentpole and he's lesser known, he can kind of take his time with it.
That's true. It's a good point, and that could mean they actually get to make a good movie of it.
Yeah. So that's produced by Marvel and going to be distributed by Paramount, much like Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk, and they have a 2012. Release date.
So what else is rumors? Or?
And then, you know, other than that, the only one that actually has some sort of date of 2012 is Wolverine, X-Men Origins Wolverine 2.
I hope that they take people's criticism seriously from the first one and they try and fix some things in the second one. I love Hugh Jackman and I want everything he does to be as great as he is.
Yeah, I agree. You know, Hugh Jackman has already said that they're going to start filming in Japan starting 2011 for a 2012 release. You know, they're going to obviously do the Wolverine in Japan storyline. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get like the Silver Samurai or a few other cool bad guys like that. But that's really all that's known. There isn't much to talk about with that. It's the same team that did X-Men Origins Wolverine that's doing Deadpool, that's doing the X-Men movies.
Any other rumors of anything that people are saying might be coming out, or is that pretty much it?
The other ones that are definitively coming out is there's X-Men First Class, which we know is directed by Bryan Singer.
Again,
back.
Not much. There's not much known about that, but as we learn more, we'll bring it up again.
There was always that Magneto rumor, which they might actually end up assimilating that storyline into the X-Men First Class.
Okay.
And Josh Schwartz, who created Chuck and the OC, is writing it. And,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. They're also doing a Venom movie.
I'm not so sure how I feel about that, I just don't know.
Yeah, Venom is going to be... it's the same team that does Spider-Man.
Thing is that Venom, the third movie, it should have just been Venom. It should have just been Venom as the, you know, there shouldn't have been all those things. So it's, unfortunately, we kind of have this warped view of Venom in movies now.
I agree. You know, Venom was one of these really good characters that, you know, did become really popular and did have his own, but I don't really think he needs his own movie. And other than that, they're talking about making a Ghost Rider 2.
That's a bad idea.
David Goyer might direct it.
They shouldn't have made the first one.
Yeah, David Goyer should not be directing it, or he can write it. And they're also planning on rebooting Daredevil and the Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Daredevil, we'll bring up a little later maybe again, because not so sure it's a great idea to just reboot Daredevil.
Yes.
But there are some great people that Daredevil worked with that they could make a so-and-so end Daredevil.
Yes.
You know?
And there's actually only two other things, and all I can say is the titles, is that Silver Surfer's in development and Iron Fist.
Yeah, don't really know what to say about those.
Yeah.
But actually, we are going to take our last quick break, and so we're going to play You Gotta Help Me Out in honor of the event. And that's by The Exit. So we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Couple of great geeks. Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet. On 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us by sending us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Go on to our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. So, very Marvel episode today. That's what we've been doing, all about Marvel. We've done some reviews. We've talked about the upcoming movies. And now we're going to talk about some of those neglected characters that, why haven't they given them a movie already?
I agree. You know, now is the time Now is the time for all you Disney executives out there to get a pad of paper, get a number two pencil, and we're going to make you a lot of money by telling you what the characters to do are and maybe even who should be cast as them.
We're not even asking for credit.
No,
we're not. I mean, it would be great if you want to credit us.
Yes.
We'll be extras. We'll totally be extras.
No problem.
Yeah. But we are giving this to you. This is a gift from Geek World.
So listen to us, write it down, and that way you can get, you know, a new Porsche, and, you know, we'll continue being poor.
Right.
Sounds like a decent plan.
Yeah.
All right. First and foremost, the first character that they have yet to do in a movie that they need to make a movie of is Doctor Strange.
Yes. Now, the funny thing about Doctor Strange is that the way that Doctor Strange is drawn is very much like Tony Stark.
Yes.
And it's funny because Robert Downey Jr. looks exactly like what Tony Stark and Doctor Strange both mm-hmm. look like. So, you know, obviously, you know, that's the look of what you'd need to go with. But let's talk about when did Doctor Strange first appear?
In the issue Strange Tales number 110, July of 1963.
Okay, yeah, so there you go. He's one of the old school characters, been around for a long time. So that's one of the reasons that at least he deserves a foot in the door.
Yeah, and you know, I gotta say, you know, he is known as the Sorcerer Supreme of Earth. You know, a quick backstory is he was a surgeon.
That
who,
foot becomes a leg.
Yes. He was an arrogant a surgeon who got in a car crash, and so he exhausted.
Or a skiing accident, depending yes. on which myth.
It depends, you know. Well, it's the Winter Olympics right now,
that's
so
true.
We should say
we've
skiing accident.
We've seen a lot of skiing accidents.
Yeah, we saw a bunch lately, yeah. And maybe it was like, you know, the person got dragged across on their face.
Oh,
and he basically, you know, exhausted his fortune looking for a cure
to make his hands not yeah, shake.
Became an alcoholic derelict. Like Iron Man.
And then they should be best friends.
Exactly. Then he went to Tibet and he met the Ancient One who, you know, repaired his soul. And then he learned to be a master of magic so that he could fight evil. And he has things like a cloak of levitation and an amulet
now,
that he uses for magic.
One of the really interesting things about Doctor Strange is that he's a man of science. And so he has to learn to reconcile this idea of essentially spirituality and science. He has to learn to bring those together and accept that in a world where he's so used to science, that spiritual, that the mystical can still exist, which just gives a really interesting dynamic to his character in
yeah.
general. He's also just... he's just a cool character, just so neat.
You know, he was a really big part of the 60s, you know, when mysticism was in,
mm-hmm.
and he didn't last past there, but then he got his own comic again in 88, and, you know, what's so great about this guy is it's sort of like Tony Stark meets Harry Potter.
Yeah,
I mean, you can get both the kind of, like, you know, disillusioned guy searching for redemption along with, you know, the magical and mysticism that's, you know, been in for a long time
yeah.
now. And so I think, you know, and also apart from that, I mean, it would be the easiest person to cast.
Yeah.
You need a white male age, you know, 25 to 35 or 25 to 40.
They also did a really well-received Marvel, like, animated movie of it, right? Like a couple years ago?
Yes, they did. Yeah,
yeah. Really
yeah.
well received. So.
And I'm going to say who I think should play Doctor Strange.
Go for it.
This is a guy who is not only a comic book veteran, but sci-fi veteran. I think that Keanu Reeves would be great.
Now, a lot of you are probably thinking, what? Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about?
I know,
but hear Dave
yeah.
out.
I know you're rolling your eyes right now. Like, I can't believe you'd say that. But listen, you know, first and foremost, you know, we need a guy who, you know, he's not like 26. We need a guy who, you know, looks like he could have been a surgeon in a former life.
Yeah.
Second, I think that, you know, Keanu, for whatever you want to say for him, can hold a movie.
Yes.
And he's also kind of got that kind of weird, like, it factor to him, which would really help in this character, that's sort of his deal. He's this sort of, like, he's Doctor Strange.
Well,
like, that's what makes him cool, is like, you like him even though he's not, you know, he's a little different.
One of the funny things is that you kind of, you hear, like, this major, like, wizard, and you kind of, like, assume that he has this kind of voice that's wizardy, but wizardy voices are kind of funny.
Yeah,
you know?
Very much so.
So why not have a, whoa, you know, obviously I wouldn't want him to say that, but...
yeah.
Like Keanu's speech pattern is mystical in its own way.
I think that, you know, I think that he's weird.
Mystical Keanu.
I think that he rides that line between kind of strange and very commercial that can be used for Doctor Strange, because that's what they need to make the character work really well.
Yeah.
So I'm all for Keanu. Next, number two, the movie that hasn't been done yet that they need to do. Well, it's actually one of the original characters of Marvel, the Submariner.
I love the story of the Submariner, and I love how he comes back. I mean, that's a character that gets to be the reason that Captain America is, you know, unfrozen.
I mean, such an integral part of the Marvel Universe. I mean, like we said, he was the second character. Well, basically, he was in the first comic book ever, along with the Human Torch and Angel. You know, he's a troubled teen. He's basically of two worlds. You know, he's half Atlantean, half human, and he basically, you know, was protecting his people against, you know, a
pollution
that was destroying its own planet. Yeah, and you know, it's this really antisocial character that I think is perfect for right now. You know, we're still in this kind of anti-hero enjoying, you know, time period. And also, you know, this is a time where we have people like Barack Obama, who, you know, is, you know, both black and both white. We have these people from different worlds that are, what, is that where you give me a look right now?
I know, it was just the way you said it. It was funny.
Barack Obama.
Both black and both white.
Yes. Well, but I'm saying, you know, you know, he's this person that's caught in between, you know, two different places.
Yeah.
And he's really, you know, he's really dynamic, and he was really kind of like really, really different for the time.
Yes.
When everyone was so vanilla. And so I think
he was one of the early anti-heroes in a way.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, it's perfect. Come on. It's like the eco-action movie's in because of Avatar.
I liked your assessment that he is James Cameron.
I mean, he's James Cameron. Exactly. I mean, the Entourage actually had it wrong. James Cameron should have directed The Submariner, not Aquaman.
That's true.
And I mean, I just can't imagine, you know, it's sort of like James Cameron, you know, plus Michael Phelps. I mean, you can't go wrong. And, you know, his first issue was no, that's not right. His first issue, Motion Picture Funnies Weekly, 1939. Well, maybe it was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, that was what he. Yeah, it was the Motion Picture Funnies Weekly.
So I guess that came before Marvel Comics number one.
It might have been that it was one of those actual comic strips that was then put into one of those books.
Yeah.
You know, before the origins of comic books.
Mm.
I think that's what that was.
So clearly, because of Barack Obama, Submariner should be made.
I make
the best points in the
show.
And
I think we've got a casting idea for that, too.
You know, there's this variant cover that came out in the 80s. With Namor jumping out of the sea, yelling, and all jacked and crazy. And I saw it and I said, you know who should play Submariner?
Ian Somerhalder.
I mean, come on. The guy, you know, the guy has, you know, he was in Lost when Lost was good. He's in Vampire Diaries right now. He's in good shape. He's a decent actor. And he plays that sort of, he's really good at playing the jerk that you love.
It's funny because it's so rough saying he's in Vampire Diaries now, because even though it's good, it's still a guilty pleasure and it still doesn't feel like it lends credibility to him. You know what I mean?
I gotta say, honestly, I don't mind, because when we're mired with shows like Gossip Girl and 90210 and Melrose Place that are so bad and full of like really good actors.
All I'm saying is that saying the words Vampire Diaries takes street cred away.
It's
just the words. Just the words themselves. Vampire Diaries.
It's true. However, it is...
But it's a good show. It's a surprisingly enjoyable show.
And not only that, it is the most successful show the CW's ever had. It gets the highest ratings the CW's ever had. So,
and Ian Somerhalder is so awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
And he would make a great Namor.
I mean, he's perfect, because that's what you need for Namor. You need someone with edge, but you can also like them.
So who's next?
Would be number three of the movies that haven't been made yet, Cloak and Dagger.
Yes. This is a team, and it's just, first off, I love teams.
Yeah.
I love superhero teams, and I love teams that are opposites attract kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, imagine the D.A.R.E. program if it were superheroes and it actually worked.
And there were only two of them?
And there was only two of them. You know, I remember Cloak and Dagger as a kid, and I didn't know a lot about the story, but I always remember how dynamic the whole thing looked. I always remember, you know, Cloak with his huge cloak and, you know, and Dagger, you know, throwing those light daggers. And basically, they were both runaway teenagers who became test subjects for the Magi. They were given an experimental drug, and instead of killing them like all the other kids, it opened their latent mutant powers. And then, you know, basically, Cloak became this guy who could open up, you know, portals into the Dark Force dimension and suck his victims in, or the bad guys rather. And Dagger could throw these daggers of light, and she could also cleanse people of drugs and poison. So they basically were there like to save the kids. And you know, it was just like a really cool comic book. It was really dynamic, and you know, like you said,
and it gets to be, it's another one of those in part a wish fulfillment, because Cloak, you know, he's this kid that came from, you know, he's one of those orphan stories that he had a stutter and he was running away, and he meets up with this, you know, he's this black kid who meets up with this white chick, you know, they're both running
opposite
away.
Opposite sides of the track.
He's kind of an orphan. She just doesn't get any attention from her rich mom, and they run away, they meet each other, and they make this perfect team that, even though they end up getting like tricked into being drugged and it happens to bring out their mutant powers, they're just like, they save the day after that. They do everything. They're just good.
Yeah, I mean,
I love pure heart, you know?
I agree. I mean, I think it's a really cool, you know, cool team or duo, rather. I think that it would be really cool to have an African-American superhero team up with a white superhero. And I think, you know, it just could be really, really cool.
And the imagery oh my yeah. God, the imagery, what they could do now with CGI and that cape mm-hmm. and like, oh my God, and the sending people through the vortex.
Oh yeah.
They could do such cool things with it. It's such a great story.
It's funny because now is the time, because before now, you know, the CGI would have looked bad, but I mean, at this point it could look amazing. And we already have a cast. Keep in mind, you know, they're runaway teenagers, mm-hmm. But we believe that the role of Cloak should be played by Columbus Short,
mm-hmm.
who,
yeah.
Not
a teenager actually anymore, but that never stops anyone from pretending yeah. that these people are teenagers.
He looks like a teenager. You know, yeah. he was in Stomp.
Yeah, I love him.
He's great. He was in Stomp the Yard, and he was just in that Armored.
I like him in Accepted.
Yeah, I mean, he's really awesome, and yeah. he's a really good up-and-coming young African-American actor.
Mm-hmm.
And we think Dagger should be played by one of our favorites, Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah, she's great. She's just fantastic.
I tell you right now, I will pay full price to see her in that white tight costume in IMAX.
Oh my God.
I have no problem. So I think the two of them together, Cloak and Dagger, would be excellent.
Yeah.
Totally
yeah.
excellent.
Totally.
So next off, we have a character who's been around for a long time, very popular, and also happens to be an African-American character, much like Cloak, Luke Cage,
Luke
Hero
Cage.
For Hire. And, you know, basically he's the same, basically the Captain America story, you know, except instead of going into the military, he was, you know,
he was framed for heroin, for like having heroin.
Yeah.
He didn't have heroin. He was
Steven,
a good guy.
Steven Seagal in Hard to Kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was framed for heroin, sent to jail. In order to get out of jail, he said, sure, I'll be part of your crazy experiment. And he was part of their experiment. And he, broke out of prison, faked his own death,
yeah.
and then came
and
back as
a hero for hire.
Because his actual name, not Luke Cage, actual name.
Carl Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So then came the legendary Luke Cage.
And a funny little tidbit, you know Nicolas Cage, the actor? Well, his name is Nicolas Coppola, and he needed to change it because he didn't want people to know him as, you know, like nepotism because of Francis Ford Coppola. And he was friends at the time with Lawrence Fishburne, and Lawrence Fishburne was a big fan of Luke Cage.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
I can imagine the two of them having like really geeky Marvel conversation
yeah.
since Nick Cage loves Ghost Rider.
Oh, yeah. Well, Nick Cage is established as a huge comic book fan. I mean, he wanted to be Superman for a long time. He has a Ghost Rider tattoo on his...
He has a kid named
yeah.
Kal-El.
So, I mean, what else can I say? But that's where he got the name Cage, was from
the
comic book of Cage. And we believe, you know, this could be really cool. It would be nice to have another big African-American actor, and we even, superhero, and we even think we know who could play him.
Yeah, I think we had a few ideas.
We had a few ideas, but I think the person we settled on was Common.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think his face actually looks a lot like the way the character has traditionally been drawn.
Yeah, I think.
And I love Common. I love Common.
You know, he's great. I think that they were talking about doing this movie for a while, and then they kind of stopped, and I remember Tyrese Gibson was the person they were saying would play him. But, you know.
That would have been a few years ago.
You know,
ago,
we
yeah.
don't mind Tyrese, but it just doesn't feel right.
He's too pretty. He's a little like too
yeah.
pretty to take seriously in any of these fightingy things.
I agree.
Even when he was in Death Race and they gave him all sorts of scars
yeah.
and it's just like, you're still too pretty. Those scars just make you
yeah.
pretty with scars.
And I like Tyrese, but he doesn't look heroic to me. He doesn't look like a superhero to me.
I can see what
you're
saying.
You know, and I think that, you know, Common very much looks like a superhero. And I thought that, you know, he's done a good job in the small roles he's had. And
not to say Tyrese couldn't play a superhero, but because there are superheroes that don't look like superheroes.
Yeah.
And Tyrese could be great at that.
I mean,
but Common for Luke Cage.
Yeah, and also, you know, all you people are like, well, Common's a rapper. Well, remember, you know, Tyrese was a R&B singer before he became an actor. So, I
Will
mean, really.
Will Smith was a rapper.
Exactly. I mean, it's so, you know, I think Common could be really cool. But there's
Billy
also a lot
Piper
of people.
Billy Piper was a pop star.
exactly. Okay, so next up, we're gonna go with a female character here.
Yes.
This is a really interesting character that, you know, though kind of mired in a certain other team, could still make her own solo debut, and that is the Scarlet Witch.
Now, the Scarlet Witch is a soap opera in herself. Do you know when did she first appear?
X-Men number 4, March of 1964.
Yeah, so she's another one from way back in the day, and she's another one with this convoluted history that's
yeah.
really tough, but at the same time, maybe a little easier than
Cable.
Cable, yeah.
Much easier than Cable.
Now, she also has a X-Men parent, or
yes.
X, you know, evil X-Men.
Yeah.
Magneto is her father.
Magneto's her father, and she is the twin sister to Quicksilver. Mm-hmm. And the origin goes that she set fire to a house by mistake and was going to get stoned by the villagers
for being a witch.
And so Magneto came in and saved them. And so they were, you know, helping him out for a while because they're his dad. And then they realized that he was evil. And so they left and they went and became part of the Avengers. And there she fell in love with the android Vision. Mm-hmm. And basically a bunch of stuff happened where Vision got dismantled and then he lost his personality. So their marriage sort of deteriorated. Then she just started becoming stronger and stronger magically. And basically she pulled a Willow in season 6 of Buffy.
Yeah, they needed pretty much, she was the only one that could have taken out this certain guy. And she did. And she already had these latent magical powers, but she delved deeper into the witchcraft and drove her insane.
Yeah.
Drove her completely insane to the point where after that she was like creating fake children and fake worlds and going into bouts of complete insanity.
Yeah.
But over all the years, there's so many interesting storylines with her.
You know, she's really interesting because you can make a lot of like really cool serious stuff and also kind of comical stuff with her. And I think that, you know, there haven't been a lot of superhero movies about girls. You know, there's been obviously like, you know, Tank Girl and Supergirl, and Wonder Woman on TV, and they also of course did Electro, which was terrible. And so, you know, there's like a big opening here to have like a really good female character, and I think Scarlet Witch could really fill that. I think
especially because she's another one that's so much of an anti-hero in a lot of ways, because she starts off on the side of, though unintentionally, her history is kind of steeped on the side of evil.
Yeah, I agree. And also, you know, I think that it's time that girls get a complicated hero.
Yes.
It's funny because we were watching that Superhero Squad, and granted it's a cartoon for little kids, but like you were saying, they had one female character, Miss Marvel, and in the one episode we saw, she was like carrying a mop, cleaning up after all the boy superheroes.
Yeah, that was like, it was like, wow, you have one female superhero and she doesn't even get to really participate in the fight. No, she's cleaning up the superhero squad place. Like, really?
Yeah.
That's what you do with her? Like, I feel bad for all little girls that watch that show.
I agree. You know, but, you know, like, look at the Scarlet Witch. You know, she's got this great background, and, you know, she's got all this
It was Miss Marvel cleaning up.
I know.
Ugh!
She has, which is funny, because actually Rogue got her super strength and flying from Miss Marvel. But Scarlet Witch, you know, she's got all this pathos, you know, she can't control her powers, she falls in love with an android. I mean, they're probably going to put her part of the Avengers. But I think, you know, she could actually be a really good character on
her
own.
She's so interesting.
And I think that, you know, the person we thought could play her very well would be Anne Hathaway.
Mm-hmm.
I could see her definitely playing that. And also, you get also somebody who's, you know, another good actor, someone like Maggie Gyllenhaal. I mean, it's really open for someone who's actually really, really good.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's such a complicated character that you should get someone that understands how to play a complicated character, a real actress.
Yeah, you don't need to get Megan Fox because she's hot. You need to get someone who can act.
How about Zooey Deschanel?
Zooey Deschanel could do it. Yeah, I think that
a little too serene, a little too like.
I love Zooey Deschanel and I love her sister Emily Deschanel. I haven't really seen a lot of. Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha.
You know, she usually
seen 500 Days of Summer yet, though.
But she usually plays that eccentric girl.
That's true.
That's her character, and that's I think who
she
is.
Yeah.
But
I gotcha. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So next we have actually our last superhero that they should make a movie of that they haven't yet. And this character was recently in a cartoon from Marvel Animated Studios. And they've even been talking about making this movie for a long time, but nothing's come to fruition.
I can see why nothing's come to fruition, but at the same time, I can't.
Yes, well, and I'll even tell you why it didn't. But this character is the Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
not to be mistaken for the Black Panthers group from the 60s,
Oh no, it's the same exact. Yeah, he was working for the Black Panthers
right.
at the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, he premiered Fantastic Four number 52 in July 1966. He's Prince T'Challa, the Prince of
Prince T'Challa.
T'Challa,
of Wakanda.
Wakanda, yes, and
that would be in Africa.
Yes. And as we saw from Avengers 2, he was the Prince of Africa.
Yeah. He didn't even bother telling anyone that there's a place that he actually has a location in Africa.
But his father was the king, was murdered, but when he was still a boy, so he sent off to America and England to get the best education. He came back. He undergoes the trials of the Black Panther, and he passed them all, and then he took an herb, and it turned him to the peak of human condition. It's basically...
Like Captain America.
He's Captain America mixed with the Phantom. Phantom because, you know, because the Black Panther is a lineage. Mm-hmm. It's more than, it's like the Phantom. It's more than just one guy. It's a bunch of guys taking up the mantle.
Now, he's just such an interesting character and such a deep character. And if they feel like they can do Captain America, they should also feel like they can do Black Panther. He's just so cool.
He's really cool, and I think that, you know, I think there's a lot of room, especially if Marvel can make him, there's a lot of room in bringing in, like, the Avengers and other, because he often works with Avengers and Fantastic Four.
And that might be it. Maybe what they need to do is do that first Avengers movie, and then they can do a Black Panther movie where the Avengers can come in.
Yeah. I'll say that for a few years, Wesley Snipes was really interested in both producing and starring as the Black Panther. His production company, this is obviously before he went to prison for tax evasion.
Wait, was this before Blade?
This was before Blade Trinity. This was around the time before Blade Trinity came out, he wanted to do it.
If it was before Blade, then I could see it.
Yeah.
But after Blade and Blade 2, it just wouldn't have worked anymore.
I think it was around Blade Trinity he was talking about his production company making it. And, I don't know exactly what happened, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And, of course, then, you know, he had legal troubles after that. So, you know, it's fine. But I think that, you know, now they could do Black Panther, could make it really cool. And there's at least, I mean, there are so many great African-American or, you know, British actors that can play the part.
I say that they should not be looking American for it, because first off, he's African.
Yes.
And granted, he was educated partly in America and England, which also leaves us big room for English actors.
Yes.
But I feel like American actors, there's too... I just don't see any American actors right now
The gravitas to do it.
Yeah. I feel like he needs to be this great stoic guy, and I also feel like he shouldn't be a known person.
Well, it's really funny is that all the people we've named that should be cast are actually really good, but I consider the two actors for Black Panther probably of the better of all the actors that we've mentioned, mm-hmm. That we think are kind of in a tie that could play him the best, though they're not in their 20s. Jimon Hounsou, mm-hmm. who of course, you know, has kind of become the go-to African, character, actor, you know, of course, you know, starting in Amistad and then going on to do things like Blood Diamond. And he was even in Stargate, by the way. But at that point, he was just Jimon. That was when he was a model. And, you know, he's actually a really good actor. I thought he was the best part of Blood Diamond, and I could see him being really good. Now, the other person I think could play him is actually one of my favorite actors working right now, and mm-hmm. that's Chiwetel Ejiofor.
I love him.
Yeah, a guy who, you know,
he can fight too.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, he was in Red Belt.
Yeah,
David Mamet's Red Belt.
Yeah.
He was also was very convincing in the fight scenes of Serenity.
Hey, wasn't Jimon Hounsou in that fighting one with Sean Faris?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
He was in what is that called? Never Back Down.
Yeah.
Also known as the Karate Kid for now. But not with Jaden Smith. Yeah, Jaden Smith. I think, you know, Chiwetel Ejiofor can do anything. I mean, you know, between Children of Men.
What about Idris Elba?
And he would be the
other
person.
I know he's in Thor now, but he's one of Thor's buddies.
And that's why I didn't include him is because he is in Thor.
Yeah.
And he's that character in Thor, but I believe he could also be very good in that role.
And he's British.
So I think, you know, there's a lot of room to cast a lot of really good actors, and I think it could be a really, really good movie. So that is our list of the movies that they haven't done yet that they probably should do.
So what we didn't get around to talking about is some of our characters that they should not bring back. But don't worry, we're going to keep on doing some Marvel stuff on the website, and and we're actually going to be starting or maybe we already have started some podcasts that are separate from this show, so keep an eye on our website for all of the updates, future Marvel stuff that we're going to talk about, and just future everything that we're going to be doing there.
Yes.
And as you know, that we've actually been updating now, so awesome.
So now you can see my brilliant post all the time. It's mm-hmm. like people meeting with Einstein or some of the brilliant minds ever, right? Like when they read.
You mean now, like going to his grave, right?
I kind of meant when he like came up with, you know, theory of relativity and
sure,
like, really
right, yeah, that
stuff. Well, at least my hair's out of control, so at least I got that going for me.
That's
I'm
true.
Just like Einstein.
But that's actually all the time that we have for this very Marvel episode of Geek World. And next week we have a very, very special show for you.
Yeah,
very special, and it will be all in honor of Black Dynamite.
Yes.
So that's all the time that we have. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. Don't forget, you can send Geek World an email at geekworldradio@yahoo.com. You can visit our website, geekworldradio.com, and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.